Hallelujah. It's always good to read the Word of God, okay? And it's good to pay attention to what you read, let me just tell you why. Because I was standing here, and I had my Bible open to the right place, but in the state of flux that I'm in, I read the number wrong, and I was looking at the Psalm, and I was looking for Psalm 16, but I was reading Psalm 14, and I thought, I must have put a wrong reference on the devotional, and I was going to have to make sure that I explained that, because Psalm 16 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." And Psalm 14 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And I was thinking, that wasn't what I had in my heart to preach about, Lord, so maybe this is what you want. But then he corrected me, brought me back to where it actually was in the Bible. And so we are going to go to Psalm 16. And on Wednesday night, the devotion, the message was about pure pleasure. The last verse in chapter 16 in the Living Translation says, in Psalm 16 says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." The New King James says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence are pleasures forevermore." And so we looked at pure pleasure. And God is pure pleasure. He just simply is pure pleasure. And as Jesus often said, if you are willing to receive it, harden not your heart. If you're willing to receive the Word of God, let your heart open up. As we worshiped this morning and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Sue to say, you know, don't think it's strange. God is doing things. He's performing things in our midst. You know, sometimes we can get into the presence of the Lord and we don't know what we're in. And we can have been there before and forgotten it. That's why at the end the Lord said to treasure it. To treasure it. As Jacob made a monument in the desert and said, man, this is where God was. As he saw a ladder and the angels of the Lord descending up and down, as he saw, you know, and I think to me that speaks more of the fact of, okay, he got to see in the physical what is true in the spiritual. They're going back and forth all the time. That they are doing the ministry of Jesus on the earth while he dwells here all the time. They are here in strength and power to minister to us. The Holy Spirit is always here, but at times we open our hearts up to allow Him to manifest in greater ways. And God is, I believe, just as He said. That would be silly, wouldn't it, to believe what He said? No, that's the only thing to believe. He said, "Don't think it's strange. I'm only bringing you where you asked to come." Okay? I didn't ask him for any particular things. We didn't ask him for anything in particular. We just asked him to draw closer to him. Okay? Spiritual worship is a tool to that, obviously, because that's something that he's desiring. More and more we are coming to it. It's not a ritual. It's a great opportunity. We're going to yield to it. We will yield to it here, practice it here, so that we will yield to it everywhere. There's public restrooms that need somebody just praying in the Spirit in them. Amen. There's grocery stores that need someone praying in the Spirit in them. There are school hallways that need someone praying in the Spirit in them. There are homes that just need somebody to pray in the Spirit in them. There are those, because he that speaks in an unknown tongue, and this is, speaks unto God, and that's not what this message is about, but we're just going to talk what the Lord wants us to talk. Okay? We're going to speak to your hearts by the Spirit of the Lord so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that's what we must do. We must allow ourselves, we must push ourselves, if necessary, to receive the pure pleasure of the Lord. We can get in His presence and not receive from Him. Yesterday, for Shiloh's birthday, we had a dinner. We were sitting there at the end of it, and Shiloh said, aren't we going to open my presents? A good idea. She wanted her presents. She didn't just sit there and say, okay, thanks a lot, everybody. She opened them, enjoyed them, and will continue to enjoy them. We'll probably enjoy one more than she enjoys the rest, but that's okay. She will enjoy the pleasure of it. Pure pleasure is what God offers us, if we'll receive it. And that's in any and all circumstances, at any time, anywhere. I found myself today, again, it happened because of a conversation that Vicki and I had, wondering why it is that people are so busy trying to make the simplicity of God so complex. Why, you know, so, why ask why? Do you ever feel better if you do know why? If it doesn't really please you, the answer that you get, do you actually receive it as the why? Or do you just say, oh, that couldn't be me? And so then you wait until you get what you want for the why. And sometimes even when you get what you want for the why, you don't like it. If someone were to not notice you on the street or not notice something, and you're wondering, well, why? And you're thinking, you must have done something. Or you're thinking, they're just that way. Or you're thinking, whatever you're thinking. And it turns out, if you find out that the answer is because they don't like you, that will bother you. If you find out it's because you did something, you'll like that even less. Why ask why? Why not just praise the Lord and let it be taken care of? Now that's a simple example. But the fact is that we have become a society that's so busy trying to explain why things are that the why that they explain is some of the dumbest stuff you've ever heard. You know? I was a wild and crazy young man because my mother didn't tell me that she loved me when I was at this age doing this thing. Hello? It wasn't her fault. She told me it wasn't her fault. And I believed her. I had to take accountability for what I did myself. But we have people explaining that, you know, somebody's a mass murderer because they weren't loved rightly when they were young. Or their daddy spanked them. The Bible says that's the best thing their daddy could do for them. But we explain it away. We've got to know why. And then, what in the world? The church falls into the trap, and so they're trying to explain to people why. Why do you want to know? What's the difference? The Bible says, just go to God. Is there something wrong with just going to God and just trusting God? Could it be that God is true and that every man is a liar? That's what the Bible says. So then, why not just trust God? On Fridays when it's possible, you know, I've told you that my nephew calls me and we visit and stuff, and we got done this time. His prayer was, Lord, I just pray that Uncle Roger's bubble would spread. I'd like to live in his bubble. I live in a bubble. That doesn't mean that I don't mess up. It just means that my messes stay in the bubble. If I stay in the bubble, he'll clean them up. Yeah. Psalm 16 says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Every Christian who believes on the Lord should have read that verse. And when you read that verse, then you should commit yourself to it. And so you're saying, it's in you I put my trust. But I got to take care of this, and I got to take care of that, and I got to take care of this. And what you say in your word doesn't quite line up with just exactly how I'm going to have to handle this. So Lord, just hold your word. I'll take care of this. I'll be right back to your word later. And everything doesn't work out. Why? We either do put our trust, or we don't put our trust. It's simple. Well, no, it's a little more complex than that. Why? How can it be more complex than that? Well, there's different circumstances and different situations. Oh, yes, ones that God never thought about. Aren't you glad that God has you to think of those things that He didn't think about? Really? What would His life be like if He didn't have you explaining to Him what He forgot? Sounds a bit facetious, doesn't it? Yes, and I'm absolutely in no way mocking. I'm not making fun of anything. I'm just trying to clarify things of how they really are. So we can take out the complexity and get back to the simplicity. God's thing is simple. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm really glad about that. I got on this thought recently. I thought, you know, that's really cool. I'm glad He loved the world, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful for Jesus dying so that I could be saved. But you know what I'm most thankful for? He saved me. He saved me. Because His love would have done me no good. It was there. But He saved me. He went beyond loving me, beyond Jesus dying for me. He saved me. Amen. He kept the door open. He kept the hounds back. And I came. I'm so thankful. I'll be forever grateful for His love. And I'll be forever grateful that Christ died for me. It's so wonderful. But it's not an ego thing. It's just a thankful thing. I'm just so glad that He saved me. And I'm glad for you that He saved you. And you should rejoice in your salvation. And if you're not saved, let's do it now. Why is He so strange? He's saved. That's all. That's my only explanation. It's God's fault. Blame it on God. It's that complex. No, it's not. It's just that simple. Yes, You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from You. Apart from Him, I have no goodness. And even now, any goodness that I have is His goodness, so that He gets all the glory. But still, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are excellent ones in whom are all my delights. I love you because you love God. We've said this before. The fact of the matter is, but for Christ, none of you would have anything to do with me. And I wouldn't want to hang out with you. Well, you. Well, yeah, but we all know what brought that on. Hunky-dunkin'. I'm sorry, honey. Can't God control this man? Rachel, we'll explain it later. Anyway, Christ makes it all better. He really does. He really does. Lord, You alone are my inheritance. You are my cup of blessing. You alone are my inheritance. You are my cup of blessing. Listen, that's true. That is so true. But we have to come into the place where that is so true, where nothing will satisfy but Him. This is not some way out there woo thing. This is just a place where we are then in the place where God is for everything in our lives, where we turn to Him in every circumstance, expecting Him to hear and to answer, and perfectly content to sit as He answers. God is not bound by time. Time does not bother God. So why does time need to bother us? When you pray, pray believing. Don't let a double-minded person ever think they'll receive anything from God. So anyway, I'm contemplating this, and you know, I don't need everybody to think the way I think. It doesn't matter to me. But I at least want to give everybody the opportunity to try it. And then give God the glory for it. But at the same time, whenever I start pondering these things, I ask myself, who do you think you are? And, well, I'm a child of God. But this morning, I, in a weak moment, said, you know, God, I just really need your assurance that I'm thinking right. Well, I was thinking before I got it said, and he stopped me before I finished it. And he said, why would you doubt now? Why now? Well, I felt corrected because I also remembered immediately Peter walking on the water and looking at the waves and sinking, and you know. And Jesus said to Peter, why did you doubt? You see, I got out of the boat of doubt 24 years ago. God's own description of that circumstance was, you just got out of the boat. Now, there's something about getting out of a boat if you're in the water. Okay? You got to have something to stand on. The only thing that you can stand on when you're on the water is the Lord. Oh yeah, you can get a surfboard, you can get all kinds of things, okay? But the fact of the matter is if you're going to get out of the boat of natural thinking, you're going to have to stand on spiritual thinking. Anytime that you don't, you go under. You stay under long enough, you can't breathe. If you're wise, you immediately look up and cry to the Lord. We will all have those times when we step out of the boat, we start looking at the waves, we start to sink. But if we have in our hearts and in our minds that it's to you that I always turn, for you are my refuge, what will we do? We'll recognize that we're underwater. Have you ever been underwater and didn't know it? Not in the natural, but in the spiritual. I guarantee you that you have. We have all been under the water spiritually and didn't realize it. Under there, gasping, whining, complaining, fearing, doubting, spouting, every manner of unbelief, and never even realized that we were on the verge of drowning. But love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. He gets our attention. And I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. But because people think they need an explanation, you can go on the internet and Google why bad things happen, and I'll guarantee you, you can find more books than you can have time to read before Jesus comes. Because everybody's got an explanation. Me too. I think I'm going to write a book. The title of it's going to be The Final Explanation, the one that will work above all things. It's going to be an e-book. I'm going to sell it for 63 cents plus postage, which will make it $1.05. They will receive the book with great anticipation. They will open it and it will simply say, who cares? And then there'll be an epilogue. For those who want to read more deeply, God cares. And that's it. Because that's the answer. Get over it. Not popular, but simple. Because what good does it do if you refuse to get over it? And what good will it do if you... You know, people have made a god of understanding. If I can just understand, Doesn't it make you feel better to know that a serial killer killed because their mother didn't love them? Doesn't that just explain it to you? Doesn't explain it to me. That sounds stupid to me. I'm not the not brightest bulb on the tree, but I'm sorry, that sounds like a stupid explanation. And it doesn't help anybody. Because they aren't going to make mothers love their children, right? And sometimes they take children out of one home where they don't think the mother's loving them right, and they put them into another home where they get molested. Genius. Genius. Why not make everybody love God? Or at least suggest that it's a good thing to do? What if the stimulus package was everyone trust the Lord? We would save $800 billion and be out of this mess in a moment. They can just send me 10% for the suggestion. And if they do, none of you will ever have to work again. Because we will all have more than we can spend. And we'll just go about doing good. But even without that, you still have the same assignment. Go about doing good. Because you are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Your God supplies all of your need according to your riches, His riches and glory. You've got it all. So when you have it all, it's a lot easier to just say, it doesn't matter. To just trust the Lord. In you alone, Lord. In you alone. I come to you alone, Lord. Because you alone have all the answers. You're my inheritance. You're my cup of blessing. And guess what? You guard all that's mine. God guards all that's yours. He's your guard before you and your rear reward. He's everything. This is the truth. And He said, this is the way. And if you just walk in this way, then you'll have all of these things. All of these things will work for you. On Wednesday I shared that when we were in England and Dima had two different GPSs, Betty and Carmen. Garmin we called Carmen, and BMW we called Betty. And so he would be listening and we'd be going with Carmen, and then Dima would be, why did she take me there? Why in the world did she want me to go there? She knew there was bad traffic. I mean, he's got a thing going with these things, you know. And so then he would shut down Carmen and turn on Betty and do the one that was in his car. And he liked Betty less than he liked Carmen. Enter the roundabout, take the second exit. Why did she say this? How do I know when? This is a confusing intersection. This is a... How would I know? Where was the arrow? Because she also has arrows. It's perfectly clear, you know. And I'm sitting, I'm saying, Dima, you got to do one or two things here, son. You either need to trust her or turn her off. It isn't going to do you any good to complain about her. Let's just consider this. I said, Dima, there's a spiritual lesson in this. She can see from a level that you can't see. So she might just know something that you don't know. So then you think I should just trust her? I said, well, either just trust her or shut her off, but don't sit here complaining about her. I mean, for goodness sakes. Well, it turned out that she did pretty well. He said, well, I guess maybe I should trust her just a little bit more. I know, this sounds strange. We're having discussions about GPS's Garmin and Carmen and Betty. But it's the same thing when you consider it with God. God knows the way. If He says, the roundabout. In England, the roundabouts, rather than corners, they have little circulars everywhere. And then there's an exit that goes here, and an exit goes here, and an exit goes here, and an exit goes here. Sometimes you have four or five exits, or you just make a U-turn. But you enter the roundabout, take the second exit. Well, the problem with that is I don't necessarily always hear everything, and she was a bit soft-spoken at times for me, so I'm trying to watch the arrows at the same time, which is very helpful to watch both directions, because what I didn't hear, I could see. Dima would miss what she said, not look at what she pointed out, go the wrong place and blame her. Is there a spiritual picture in that somewhere? Didn't hear you, Lord. Guess I'll go this way. Lord, why didn't you show me the best way? Anybody ever done that? Anybody? Most of you I know pretty well. I don't know you guys that well, so you may have never done anything like that. We could be in the presence of perfection. Aren't you glad you came? Aren't you glad it's not on a video? I guarantee you somebody will listen to this and wonder who it was that I was talking to. But we won't tell them. You alone, O Lord. Yes. Oh, yes. The land you've given me is a pleasant land. How is it that we have a hard time just accepting that this is a pleasant land? People ask me, how was your trip? I said it was okay, but it was a bit too long away from paradise. And some say, oh yeah, paradise. I say, this is, trust me, this is paradise. But others will say, yeah, when you think about it, we don't have it so bad looking at everything else that's going on around us. But I'm ahead of them. I thought it was great before everything else was in the pit. I love this place. Because God's given me a pleasant place. The place you've given me is a pleasant place. When people say, well then see, when bad things happen, it was God's fault. No. Bad things can happen. So what? You're still in a pleasant place with the Lord. Never. Don't you even think about going to heaven and saying to the Lord that Roger ever said that God did anything bad. I put a disclaimer on it all of the time. I will not, I refuse to even consider that he does anything bad. What good does it do people when, quote, the people who are supposed to know write a book that says why God did something bad to you? Like we're so stupid we can't grow without bad things? I would like to think I have the mind of Christ and that I'm perfectly capable of doing better without bad things. Lead me the easy way, Lord. Now, when I get to heaven, when you get to heaven and you find out I was wrong, it's okay. God will never give you a hard time about refusing to blame Him for bad things. Perhaps He'll say to you, oh, you lived in that same kind of a bubble, but it was cute. I don't know. I know, I'm getting old, I got a scruffy beard, my hair's falling out, God still thinks I'm cute. Because He sees me through the eyes of the Lord. My wife, no. Quit. She seldom says amen, but she did say yeah. Okay. We won't go into that either. Okay, so it's a pleasant place. It's a wonderful inheritance. Every person who comes into the kingdom of God gets the same wonderful inheritance. And the enemy tries to get us to spend all of our time looking at and being influenced by what is not ours so he can keep our eyes off of what is ours. But if we will be determined to search what is ours, oh man, we'll suddenly realize this is a pleasant place. And there's no lack in God, and there's nothing that He cannot do, and there's nothing that He will not do, because you are special to Him. This place you've given me is a pleasant place. It's a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night my heart instructs me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I know the Lord's always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. This is where I'm going to stand. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am. To stand in that spot and enjoy the pleasures of the Lord forevermore. No wonder my heart's filled with joy, and my mouth shouts His praises, and my body rests in safety. No wonder. What a way to be. What an inheritance. Listen, you know, I haven't reached it. But there's one thing I do. I join Paul. I forget what's behind. And I reach for what's ahead, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high goal of God in Christ Jesus. Because He's given me a pleasant land. He's promised me pleasure forevermore. Why should I be distracted from that? Why should I let the why and the what and the who and the where keep me from there, that place that He's promised me? Why don't I just run to that spot all the time, every time, and receive the pleasure forevermore? Why shouldn't I just be that way? Why shouldn't I just believe the Word of God? Why shouldn't I just stand in that place? Why shouldn't I? See, that should be your thought exactly. Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I have all of this? Why should I let anything keep me from that? Why should I let anything distract me from that? Why should I be robbed of any promise of God? When no matter what, I can go in and experience His pleasure. Where we visited today in worship is ours forevermore. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy that you don't find anywhere else. Doing anything else. It's in His presence. It doesn't mean that it's in this place. It's wherever you are, but you're in His presence. There is no joy like His presence. And I searched for joy in my life before I found Him. Not that I was a person without joy. I was just looking for more joy. And I searched for those places, but those places were only for a moment, only for a season, and then those places would cease. And so then you would have to go to the same place again and do the same thing again with the same results. But I just kept going to those places because that was the best I found. And then came Jesus. And now there's only one place. I'm in a rut. You know, some people say, well, you know, you got to live in a city so there's places to eat. So you can go to a lot of different places. If I find a place that has something I like, that's be where I am. I'm dull, ain't I, honey? No, good, thank you. Not the preaching, the fact about the eating. I'm not fanciful. She expands my horizon. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that I don't have to be somewhere else and do lots of different things. Because I just go to the Lord. We can just go to the Lord. It's nice to have everything funneled in to one place. Just go to the Lord. You got troubles? Go to the Lord. You got joy? Go to the Lord. Whatever, go to the Lord and enjoy His wonderful presence. God will not leave you among the dead or allow the godly one to rot in the grave. God will not leave you in a pit. And if He isn't going to leave you in a pit, then He certainly isn't going to put you in a pit. What a tragedy it is that a multitude of people who believe in God and who love God somehow have bought into the idea that God put me in a pit. This is my pit for the Lord. This is the place where I can become the servant of the Lord that the Lord wants me to be. That's not a very nice God. I'm sorry. It's just not. Now, if we run and we fall in a pit, is that God's fault? No. But if we stay in the pit, is that God's fault? No. Because He's offering us a way out of the pit. Can't you just see God saying, well, I threw you in there, I guess it's time to take you out. I tell you what, I'd be a little hesitant to take the hand of the one who threw me in there. I'd be looking for somebody else to get me out. You go on ahead, I'll get somebody else to pull me out. I don't trust you. No, God won't allow me to stay in a bad place. He won't allow me to be ruined by the bad place. Yes, You will show me the way of life, granting me joy in Your peace and the pleasure of living with You forever. It's His promise. So I think that if we move ourselves into a you alone attitude, just for a while. You know, it's one of those things, a lot of things I've said to people, well, just try it for a while. God can't fail. But you can't try it double-minded. You can't try it with one foot here and one foot there. You can't try it with your prayer saying one thing and your mouth saying another, or your mind thinking another. You have to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And pretty soon you say, oh, I'm so glad I decided to make it You alone, Lord. Amen. Father, I thank You for the privilege of sharing with such wonderful people. Bless them beyond measure, Lord, with the realization that You alone are the answer to all things. In new and significant ways, Lord, let it be revealed to each of us. May we grasp this treasure and hold it close so that we can reach into it at any time and share it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Roger?
Yes.